Assalamu alaikum. So, his friends, I'll be honest with you. That's too long. I hope you missed me as nearly as much as I missed you. This week's parish is Acharei Mos, which is Acharei Mos Kedoshim. Acharei Mos Kedoshim. So I'd like to talk a little bit about Acharei Mos, and hopefully when we come out of here we'll be not only happier people but better people. What does Acharei Mos talk about? Acharei Mos talks about primarily, to a great extent, it talks about the avodah of Yom Kippur. In parish we talk about Yom Kippur. Now, the Sifra Mekuvalim teach us that when a parasha has a name, that name has to express the essence of the parasha. We don't just always use the first word. I'll give you an example. How does Noah start? Parasha is Noah. The Eilat. Thank you, Aaron. Toldos Noah. So why don't you call it the Eilat? Call it the Eilat. All right, you say the Eilat. Call it Toldos. Why don't you call it Parasha Toldos? I mean, we have later on we have a Toldos, but this got this first did. It got Toldos first. So why do we call it Noah? No, so you want to use a pasuk from the beginning of the so you want to say even more it should be called Toldos. Exactly. So if it's called Noach, it's called Noach. And it says Ve'elu Toldos Yitzchak, Avraham Holidus Yitzchak, so call Parshas Yitzchak. Why doesn't Yitzchak get a parsha? I mean Balak gets a parsha. But Balak is it's a pretty miserable guy, Balak. So he gets a parsha. So let's give Zaidi Yitzchak a parsha. Zaidi for the Spartans a grandson. Okay, so this week's parsha is Acharei Mos, after you're dead. What is Yom Kippur about? Yom Kippur is about life. Yom Kippur is a day of life. Yom Kippur is when Zachreinu Lechayim Melech HaFeitz B'Chayim. It's a day of life. If Yom Kippur is a day of life, then we should be talking about life. Don't talk about Acharei Mos. It's a morbid title for the parsha of life. It says in the Gemara, "Itzumo shel Yom Mechaper." Yom Kippur is a day that it gives you life. It's mechaper you. It keeps you around. You know, there's a story that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was walking with his son, Reb Velvel, and as Yom Kippur was leaving, he was outside, and he says, it was Erev Yom Kippur, probably Erev Yom Kippur, and he was walking, and the sun was setting, and he said, "You see that sun?" He says, "The sun now is a regular old sun." But the next sun is a sun that's going to be Mechaper. It's a completely different day. It's a day of life. Yom Kippur is Kapara, and then after Yom Kippur is the day that the whole day is about asking for life. And then we say that what's the name of the parsha? The name of the parsha is Acharei Mos, after death. Yom Kippur is life, not death. So, obviously there are actually a number of answers. But I was thinking of one very simple answer, and that will lead us to a lot of insight into a lot of things in Yitzchak Shem. When you're standing there in Yom Kippur, you're standing in Shul in Yom Kippur, and you're shuckling back and forth. Now, if I'm going to live forever, I don't have anything to worry about. If I'm only in this world, I don't have anything to worry about, because one thing I know for sure, I know that when I come home on Yom Kippur, there's going to be a nice meal waiting for me on the table. I'm always like, I never like to leave Yom Kippur. I always get home, and the last guy home, an hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later. I'm just not interested. I'm only hungry during the day, a little bit. And then Motzi Yom Kippur, I just lose all my desire to eat. And it says in Kabbalah, in the Medrash, it says there's a bas kol, a heavenly voice comes out, and it says, go eat your bread in gladness. Leich echo b'simcha lachmecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper, and now you can go eat your bread in gladness. But it doesn't say you have to eat your bread right now. Says, go eat your bread. So I take my time. So I know I have a good meal waiting for me. And then I know that Motzi Yom Kippur is always a lot of fun. You know why? Because it's the onset of a long 3-week vacation. Yes! Right? So I know that I have a vacation waiting for me. And I know I have a lot of fun and a lot of good meals. And I know I don't have to prepare them. Right? So everything is cool. Everything is wonderful. You know, build a sukkah, the siyata, the shema, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me children, and they help me, and it's fun, and you buy a little of an esrog. And life is good. Life is good. You're on vacation, and you're relaxed, and it's v'samachta b'chagecha. And this world, Baruch Hashem, is a very nice world. So if on Yom Kippur, I'm just thinking about After Yom Kippur, I'm going to have a nice meal, and then I have a fun sukkah to look forward to, and you go to the inbal, and you hang out with us in the lobby, and you go on tilim, and life is good, and then at the end of the year, this is going to be a great year, and you don't know what you're in for yet, because what's Elul and Yeshiva? Elul and Yeshiva is giving the guys a lot of food, a lot of tilim, a lot of concerts, a good time, and then like the heavy-duty brainwashing, really telling you're not religious, that only begins in Cheshvan. We don't start that in Elul. I do a little bit, but that's another. I want to get the guys into it. But in Elul life is good. In Elul life is good. You're a religious guy. You don't realize you're not religious. In Elul, you're religious. Everything is cool. And you're a good guy. And you don't feel like you don't know how to learn because you don't really care. It's only like in Cheshvan and Kislev and Teves, you open up the Gemara, like, I can't read a word here. Like, then you begin to feel a little bit, you know, inferior, and, you know, you start really, maybe you wasted your time, and maybe, you know, the challenging things come start presenting themselves. Questions about the future, what am I going to do? On Yom Kippur, everything is great. So I'm on Yom Kippur, and I'm just going to live. And also, I'm young, I'm 18. And when you're 18, of course, you don't have to think about death. When you're 18, you have your whole life ahead of you. What am I thinking about? I'm going to have a great year. I'm going to have a great year. There's this girl here for the year. She really likes me. It's going to be even better. I'm going to have a great year. I mean, I'm saying that as a muscle. I mean, my wife, but I'm not talking about that. For you guys, it's going to be a great year. And then next year, I'm going off. I'm going to NYU. I'm going to Brandeis. I'm a Sephardi guy from Brooklyn. I'm going to Brooklyn College. Wherever I'm going, I'm going to have a good time. It's going to be nice. Then I'm going to go into the family business. I'm going to marry a rich girl. We all know we marry a rich girl. And all her father wants to do is share his money with us. So people tell me, that's what people do. Oh, I'm married. It's great. I'm going to marry a rich girl. I'm always like, you're going to marry a rich girl. First of all, she's not rich. She doesn't have any money. Her father has money. And now that we realize that it's not her, it's her father, do you really think he's going to share his money with you? He's looking. If he really wants to share his money, he's looking. He has all this money, and he wants to share with somebody. He'll have a line outside his door, you know, long enough to surround the Atlantic Ocean of people who want to share the money with him. So don't be so excited. But that's what we're thinking now. We're young, and life is good, and we only have the future ahead of us, and Baruch Hashem, we're healthy. So then, what's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is like, you know, boring day, maybe. Maybe they're nice songs. But Yom Kippur doesn't mean anything. But let's say you have a different attitude. Let's say the attitude of the Bali Musar. The Bali Musar say, what is life? Life is constant death. Every second you're alive, a second is death. So if you can imagine an hourglass, you know, the sand is going through. So it doesn't end in 1 second. Every second, a little bit more sand went through. So if you're 18 years old, you're 18 years dead. If you're 25 years old, and every day, you are on a, we all have a terminal illness. I don't want to get too morbid, but we all have a terminal illness called life. And life is that every day we're taking a step and another step and another step, and I personally have never been closer to death, ever, than I am at this very moment. And I know that the sun will shine tomorrow and greet me and tell me that if you think you were close to death last night, well, I want to tell you that today you're about 12 hours closer. That's what the sun is going to tell me. And then you start thinking about life that way. And then you think, wait a second. I'm going to be alive for how much? Let's say I'm 80. I'm 18. I'll be alive. We're going to give me a nice long look because I take my vitamins and I go work out in the gym. We're going to give me 90 years. Okay, that gives me 72. Is the math good? 72 more years. 72 more years. But it's not going to last much longer than that, right? If you're 90, the odds of you reaching your 91st birthday aren't so great. And if you do, that just increases the odds that you won't reach your 92nd birthday. Yeah. And then if you do, if you beat the odds, what you've done then is you stack the cards higher because the odds of you getting to 93 are even slimmer. Yes, to get past the 100, my mother told me on the telephone today that the most rising population in America, in the world or in America, is people over 100. But yeah, but there's still, after 100, it's also not going to go for so long. Terrific. See, I'll be alive another 72 years, 75 years if I'm lucky. And then I'm not going to be alive anymore. Now, how long am I not going to be alive for? How long are people dead for? Well, you know, what always bothers me is that, like, I go to the cemetery, yes, and I, like, visit somebody there, and I'm like, you're still lying there? Don't you get bored down there? It's like another day, and another day, and another day. You know, it's been like 50 years, man. Get with it. You know what I mean? So much, you should see how the world has changed. You know what I mean? I was just marveling today. I mean, how has the world has changed since I was a kid? When I was a kid, not only didn't we have fax machines, not only didn't we have cell phones, We didn't have answering machines. So if you wanted to get in touch with somebody, and the person wasn't home, you could only get them at home, then you just had to, this is so unbelievable, you had to call back later. And I called Israel, but we had telephones, I'm not that old. We had phones, but we had to call Israel. We would speak to the operator. The operator would say, okay, I'll call you back. We'd give the operator the number. The operator would have to make the call. Then the operator would call us back, and you'd say, thank you, Shirley, have a nice day. And then you'd make the connection. And today, you have in your little package, so the world has changed. So you say to the guy, get out of your grave. It's a different world. 100 years, 200 years ago, 700 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and they're all still dead. So when you consider death, that seems to be pretty fine. And then you think, wait a second. I am going to have to face the Ribbono Shel Olam forever. And here I only have, at most, 72 years. At the very least, another second. Right? Meaning, it could be another second. We don't know. But it could also be 70 years, 80. When you have Acharei Mos, you start thinking about what's going to be after death. That completely changes your perspective. Because then you realize, oh my gosh, if I have to worry about Acharei Mos, then your Yom Kippur is a different Yom Kippur. Do you know why Yom Kippur is dead in most shuls? Well, excuse the pun. Why Yom Kippur is so dead in most shuls? There's no feeling. I don't see anybody crying on Yom Kippur in shul. The only time I ever see people crying on Yom Kippur in shul are the people of no averus. Like you go up to your cats, you say, your cats, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. I don't think you watch too many DVDs during morning seder. You know, you'll be fine. You don't have to worry about it. The only people crying are the people without averus. And the people are barely. And the people who are filled with sin. The people who are deep mired in the mud, they're so cool about Yom Kippur. You know, they're just a little bit, two or three minutes from the ministry, looking around, looking at their watch, shaking back and forth a little bit, talking to their friend, waiting for it to end already. But the people, you know why? Because they don't have Acharei Mos. They don't have to worry about anything. They're here forever. So they have their business, they have their job, they have their family, they have their health. So they don't have to worry about it. God told them about death. Do you realize how much in the Western world death is discussed? It's just not. Unless somebody actually dies, then they talk about it for a minute, and everybody wants to forget about it. It's just unpleasant. People, you even bring it up, people say, let's not talk about that. It's very unpleasant. But we want to talk about it, because the only way you can make your life meaningful here is if you have Acharei Mos. Otherwise, why not just eat? You know, it says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. So what's the idea behind that? Tomorrow we'll die and nothing's going to happen. So you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. But if tomorrow you'll die, and then there's something after, there's Acharei Mos, then it's a completely different life. So it's interesting. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says v'chiper ba'ado bad beiso. He needs to have a wife. If he doesn't have a wife, he's not a Kohen Gadol. So in the Bavli, it's a little bit complicated. In the Bavli, he makes sure he has a wife because he has two wives, and he gives them a get with a condition to always make sure that the entire day he's going to have a wife. You have to have a wife. No wife, no kapara for the Jewish people. The Yerushalmi says something different. The Yerushalmi says, if his wife dies on Yom Kippur, you have a wedding on Yom Kippur. He has to marry a new girl because it doesn't work. Yom Kippur doesn't work if he doesn't have a bias. V'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad beiso. So like I always imagine, a Kohen Gadol Nebuchadnezzar, his wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur, and all of a sudden the call goes out, Yom Kippur's wife is dead, they get a girl from the Roma, she's willing to do the job, everybody gathers in the square. Can you imagine what an event that would be? They have a couple of sinners, with their digital cameras, taking pictures. But everybody, and the Kohen Gadol is getting married on Yom Kippur, because without a house, without a bias, there's no kapara for the Jewish people. Well, what's the idea behind that? What do we care? He's married or he's single, Robbie, you're married or you're single?
Single.
You're single. You're a much better guy than I am. I'm married. So what does it matter if you're married? He's single, but Santa, so he's single. Why can't a single guy be the Kohen Gadol? You can be a good person and single at the same time. I've met some singles who I like better than married people. Happens. So why is the Torah, and not only that, the Torah doesn't say v'chiper, say v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad ishto. He should be given kapar for his wife. It says that he needs a bais. He needs a house. Excuse me? What? Beiso is ishto, so say ishto. Why beat around the bush? Say ishto, you have to have an isha. But the Torah says bais. What's the idea of a bais? So there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Nakup Yiches. There was Rabbi named Rabbi Yossi said a few nice things. One of the things he said was, I never called my wife my wife. I only called her my bais. Lo karasi li ishti ishti, ala karasi beiso. I called her my house. What's the idea of calling her a house? So there are two ways of looking at the world. One way of looking at the world is looking at what you see. There's another way of looking at the world, that you look at the goal. You look at the ultimate purpose. When Rabbi Yossi looked at his wife, you know what he saw? He didn't see a woman there. You know what he saw? He saw a house. He saw children. He saw a family. He saw the tachlis, the ultimate purpose. So what we want on the Kohen Gadol to do in Yom Kippur is we need him to be married, because if you're not married, then you're living for now. There is no future. I'm saying the idea of children, children is eternity. Children is the future. So you're not so connected to the future unless you have children. You see that about a lot of single people. Like, it's hard for them to think too much into the future because they're so here. And they don't have children. They're not past. They don't have to think of the future generations. But if you have a wife, and you don't look at her as a wife. It's nice. There are other places that Chazal talk about. You know, my wife, and well, it's nice to look at your wife as a wife. She's a woman, and she has many, many wonderful qualities. But Rabbi Yossi didn't see her that way. Rabbi Yossi only saw, when he saw his wife, he saw the future. And that's the madrega of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that he has to be thinking, not about his wife. Oh, wow, you know, I have a really pretty wife, or my wife's a really good cook. The Kohen Gadol has to be thinking about the future, that there's going to be a bias, and there's a home, and there's a continuation here. It's not just me. It's not just this generation. It's the future generations. That's the idea of Acharei Mos. Acharei Mos means I'm not just going to die and that's it. It means that after death, there's also something. And there's, I'm going to have to give Din L'Cheshbon in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he has to see that with his own eyes. And the same thing. When you look at your wife in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, he has to know that he has a wife, and that his wife means a bias. That his wife means a future, and not just now. And that's also why, because I'll say, Ezu Chacham, Haroa es Hanola. A Chacham, it says in the Gemara, is somebody who sees what is going to result. He sees the future result. So it doesn't say, Ezu Chacham, Hayodea es Hanola. Not knowing. You see it with your own, it's a reality. For us, the future isn't such a reality. Olam Haba is not such a reality. Our children, what our children are going to look like, and our grandchildren aren't going to look like, aren't such a reality. The reality we see in front of our eyes is whatever we see. If it happens to be dinner, if it happens to be a movie, if it happens to be a good time, a vacation, what college we're going to go to, these are things that we see directly in front of our eyes. And Chazal said that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it, the lesson of Yom Kippur, is to be able to look, to see the tachlis, to see the purpose with your own eyes. That's why I think in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, It says, look at three things and you're not going to come to sin. What are the three things? Know where you came from, where you're going to, and who you're going to give judgment in front of. Where did you come from? A drop of sperm. Where are you going to? A pipe. Who are you giving judgment in front of? Hashem. Excellent. You guys are holding. What do you mean look at it? What, I'm supposed to look at a drop of semen? As it says. Look at it. Look. So what's the Mishnah telling you? The Mishnah is saying it has to be a concrete reality. If you want to be humble, you have to really be able to see in your mind, that's all I am. That's where I started. And that's where I'm going. I have to see in my mind's eye, I'm giving Din V'Cheshbon in front of, I'm going in front of the King of Kings, the Master of the Universe. You know, a lot of people are scared they're going to go into Rabbi David Abuchatzera and he's going to know all of their affairs. You know, going in front of that Kodesh Baruch Hu and him knowing your affairs is even more frightening. Even more frightening. And that's an eternal judgment. Anyway, Rabbi David has got such a long line, he doesn't have time to rip into you. You know what I mean? He's got other people to meet. But the Rabban Shalom has forever. So Chas V'Shalom, the Rabban Shalom is not going to rip into you. But to think to give Din, I'm standing, that's what you're supposed to think. This is the Mishnah Berurah. When you daven Shemoneh Esrei, that your neshama is mamish in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Your neshama is in the Kodesh, in the Holy of Holy, because that's where you're davening. That's why when you daven, you face your Yerushalayim. That's why it's one of my jokes. One of my jokes that I can make so often because I make it in so many different contexts. People always say, you know, I go to a wedding and people say, which direction should we daven in? I go, it doesn't matter, your Yerushalayim. Whatever direction you daven in, you're in the direction of your Yerushalayim. Isn't that cool? But it's more than that. You have to daven in, you guys don't think it's funny as I do. You have to daven in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Your heart, you have to mat in your mind, you have to know that your neshama is in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's what davening is. So that's the Chacham, that's Ra'a Sanola. Not only that, but it's interesting that we have Kinyanei Torah. There are 48 Kinyanei Torah. And every day of Sfiras HaOmer corresponds to another one of the Kinyanei Torah. So what's today's day in the Sfiras HaOmer? today's day is it's the 22nd day of the Omer. I can say that because I counted already. But today's Amida is Emunas Chachamim. Emunas Chachamim. What is one of the ways? There are 48 ways to be Kona Torah. The Gematria 48 is Moach. There are 48 ways to get the Torah in your brain. And one of those, number 22, so each day, it says in the Sfarim, you're supposed to work on one of the Kinyanei Torahs. So if you go to Rav Beir Shiurim, so he talks about the Midos. Every day you're supposed to work on another Midah. That's also true. So, and the Midas are printed in the Siddur. But also, every day you're supposed to work on one of the Kinyanei Torah. Aaron Cutler said, Aaron Cutler knew how to acquire Torah, that if the only way to acquire Torah, according to Chazal, are these 48 ways, that means without the 48 ways, you didn't make the Kinyan. You want to acquire Torah, so Chazal say, here's how to make a Kinyan. So how do you make a Kinyan on metalplin, on movable objects? You pick them up. Thank you, Ari. How do you make a Kinyan on land? You make a chazakah, star. How do you make a Kinyan on an isha? Send her 12 red roses. So and then be Makadisha with them. The idea is that in order to make a Kinyan, you have to do a proper act of acquisition. What is the proper act of acquisition for Torah? Well, there are 48 of them. So if you didn't know them now, I invite you, after you finish Manasseh tonight, in the back of your art school, Sidurim, they have a Pirkei Avos. And at the end of Pirkei Avos, they go through the 48 ways. So each day is supposed to work on another way. What's today's way? Today's day? Way? What's today's Kenyan? Emunas Chachamim. Why do we have Emunas Chachamim? Why should I have faith in the Chachamim? The answer is Ezehu Chacham. Haroes HaNolad. That's in Pirkei Avos. Ezehu Chacham Haroes HaNolad. And that's also true. But I'm talking about the Gemara in Talmud. It says, who's a Chacham? Haroeh es hanolad. You see in front of your eyes, it's real to you. That's the reality you live. You don't live the reality of today. You live the reality of the future. That's the way a Jew has to look at this world. And that's incidentally also why on Yom Kippur we talk about the Surei Arayos. On Yom Kippur, that's the last thing on a guy's mind, he's going to have an affair. But in Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell us that we have to look into the future. What's the idea of Arayos? Right, you know, it's not about having a family. It's about the present. It's about having a good time. So therefore the Torah tells you that you have to be very careful. On Yom Kippur we read about that to know that you have to look into the future. And that's incidentally in that same Gemara about Reb Yossi that it says that didn't call his wife. He called his wife house. You know what it says there? It says, V'chamesh b'ilos ba'alti v'natati chamisha arazim b'Yisrael. I had relations 5 times, and I planted 5 cedar trees in Israel. That he had 5 sons who were great tzaddikim. Because that's the way Rabbi Yossi looked at the world. Rabbi Yossi said, what's the purpose of a wife? It's a bias. It's to build a house. And therefore, when he had Bia, what's the ultimate purpose of that Bia? Is the children, the future, the chamisha arazim. It's actually interesting that we call a bris, krisas bris. You ever heard that? L'charos imo bris, let's say, seretz haknayim. L'charos bris. That's the expression that the Torah uses. What does it mean, l'charos? L'charos. To cut. What is a bris?
Cutting.
A covenant. What is a covenant? Coming together. So listen to this expression. You're cutting a bris, putting together. One second. If you're putting together, you're not cutting. If you're cutting, you're not putting together. So what is a krisas bris? It's davar v'hipucho. You're cutting off the togetherness. So that's not what you want. You want to make a togetherness. So what is a what does it mean? You're co-race a bris. So what's the answer? The answer is when you make a covenant with somebody, what you're doing is you're giving part of yourself to them. That's how you come together with somebody. Giving part of yourself to him. So what do we do when a child is 8 days old? We take part of him. And we're koreis a bris, literally koreis a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When you're doing a bris mila, what does that aver symbolize? The future! Oh, I forgot biology. That's where children are created. You're giving the future over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a bris is. The future is not mine. I'm giving you this great koach that you gave me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the covenant that I'm making with you is that this that you gave me, I want to now give back to you. And that's what's going to connect us. So you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give you my future. And that's why a Chacham is called, that's why today Amunas Chacham is one of the Kinyanei Torah, because a Chacham doesn't look at the world the way we look at the world. The Chacham doesn't just see today, this minute, this hour, a year from now, 2 years from now. The Chacham sees far into the future. Esu Chacham Aroas and Olam. And he sees it as a reality, not just as an abstraction. And sweetest friends, that is the problem. That is the problem with the world. The world, what I see, is that people can only see now. They can see now. Now, how long is now? Sometimes now is only the next 5 minutes. Sometimes how long is now? Now is a year from now. 2 years from now. I don't know anybody, kimat, I mean, in the younger age group that I deal with, who is able to see that the future, the real future, for example, acharemos, is a reality. What's the proof? Who is found? Let's say somebody's deciding, and again, please don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I don't like giving Shanabed speeches. I don't like it because I like to talk about things that are real and not just like, you know, these side issues. Yes, I'm going to come back. Not I'm going to come back. That really doesn't concern me for right now. What concerns me is the mahut, the essence of the matter. What's the essence of the matter? Let's say you're deciding. You're making a decision for life. Deciding, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What is going to determine your decision? So I'll tell you the way they see it in the outside world. And then they brainwashed all of us. Okay, so that we see it like this also. Okay? I'm going to decide what I'm going to do based on the next 20 years or 30 years down the line. I can't look further than 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Imagine you would go and somebody would say to you, what are you doing next year? You say, well, I'm going to yeshiva. You say, what is yeshiva going to do for you? So, I want to be happy for eternity. Not l'shem shemayim. I'm not doing it l'shem shemayim. I'm not really so concerned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't lose any sleep overnight. You know, the Mekubalim, they can't sleep at night because the Shechina is in Galus. God's divine presence in Galus. Listen, God's divine presence has his problems and I have my problems. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about me. About A number one. I want to be happy for the rest of eternity. People look at me. Are you crazy? What are you worried about that for? But what about the next few years? Now, what is, you know the old joke? That somebody goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Master of the universe, what's a million years in your eyes? So he says, in my eyes, a million years is like a minute. So he says, oh wow, okay. So Master of the universe, what's $1 billion in your eyes? He says, for me, $1 billion is like a penny. So he says, Master of the Universe, give me a penny. So he says, in a minute. So, So what is the next 70 years? What is the next 70 years compared to eternity? No, not even that fast. Much, much shorter. Eternity compared to the next 70 years of your life, if I give you a bracha, you should have 70, 80, 90 more. Amen, thank you. I like getting brachas. Amen. Is a snap of the fingers. It's so much faster than a snap of the fingers. Rav Dessler gives, I think it's Rav Dessler's mashal. You have a chassan going to his wedding. And after the wedding, somebody says to the chassan, he says, so tell me, how is the ride to the hall? Was it comfortable for you? He says, yeah, it was fine. Tell me something. How big was the car? Was it a 4-seater, a 5-seater, a 6-seater? It was a 4-seater. Do they have air conditioning in the car? I guess they had, but I think the windows were open. And did they have, like did you have today in some cars, you know, you have a little compartment, you can have something to eat, something to drink. Why are you asking me so many questions about the ride to the wedding? What's the icker? Don't ask me about the wedding! This is only a ride, it's a means to get to the wedding. It's not about the ride to the wedding. Who remembers this stupid ride to the wedding? I'm trying to think now back to the ride to my wedding. I don't even remember. I probably walked on air. I don't remember how I got there. I know that somehow at the end of the day I was there. And I also know that I went into the yichud room with my kittel. I know I left my kittel in the yichud room. So if anybody's ever in the Ramada Renaissance and they see a kittel lying around, I'm still looking for it. I've been looking for it now for almost 15 years. I've been looking for that kittel. Can I get their 15 share analysis? And maybe if I say them, hopefully on my 15th anniversary. Anyway, who remembers? Who remembers? Who cares what happens on the... Guys, Don't you realize we're all on the ride to our wedding? This is not. Isn't this also interesting on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, you know what the guys used to do on Yom Kippur? This is not me. I'm an old man. I just sit in shul with my. I bought a new kippah. I sit in shul with my kittel and I shuckle back and forth and I cry and I laugh. I'm laughing more than I'm crying because I'm in a good mood. It's Yom Kippur. But you know what single guys would do on Yom Kippur? Don't do it now, because if you do it now, you're out of the yeshiva. But if you would be back in the time of the Gemara when things were cooler, you would go to the field, you go to Mozart where they have these vineyards and it's Svi Moshe Note, and you would check out the girls and pick out a wife for yourself. You'd go on Yom Kippur day and pick out, isn't that a funny thing to do on Yom Kippur? The girls are having all these mechalot and the girls are dancing back and forth, right? So today they have mechitza and everything, you don't look. But then you're a single guy, you go and you take, I'll take that one. I'll take that one, and a ring, and at the end everyone gets a card with each one's name, and you exchange Motzi Yom Kippur. From Yom Kippur to Sukkot, there are a lot of weddings. Because on Yom Kippur, you're thinking about the future. So that's why on Yom Kippur, it's not just about, what about my children? What are my children? Are my children going to be like me? Ever think about that? Do you want, I hope nobody in this room wants their children to be like, not because you guys aren't great guys, because you're all great guys, but you want to improve. You want the generations to grow. You're on your level, and you want that by the time, I hope that by the time my kid gets to my age, he'll be on a much, much higher level than I am. And I hope that by the time his kids get, and that's what we want to improve each generation's success. So you're thinking about the future. So we have our life in this world to think about what our children will look like. And then we have the wedding. It lasts for, I tell you guys, I never stop marveling about how long it lasts. And like whenever your side comes up of somebody that I know, I think, oh my gosh, like I said before, like another year and the person is still not with us. I said, you know, that death seems like something really permanent, doesn't it? Right? And it doesn't help you all the money in the world. They always think like somebody say about somebody, you know, he lost $1 million, he lost $2 million, he lost $3 million. What about when a guy dies? They don't look at it that way. But in addition to losing his life, he lost that. Nothing's going to help you. There's no protectors up there. No, you know, no, I have connections. I know a top doctor. You know I'm well connected politically. None of that stuff matters. I got a 1480 on the SATs. You know what I mean? My uncle built the yeshiva. None of these things help you up there. All that you have up there is what type of person you are. That's all the mappa. Because Baruch looks at you in the face, and he says, my sweetest friends, like Chazal described, he just shows you your true self, and you have to live with that for the rest of forever. So stop making a decision. Give yourself, wait a second. Am I going to make sure that when I ride to my wedding, it's going to be a comfortable ride? Or am I going to focus on making a nice wedding? Imagine one time you go to a wedding, and it's mamish nothing. The Rosh Hashiva told me once went to a wedding and they served pizza. They served pizza? I said, Rosh Hashiva. By the way, you should be speaking to him in the third person. Rosh Hashiva, it's not so no, but in yeshiva you're supposed to speak to the Rosh Hashiva in the third person. So I say, Rosh Hashiva! Not me. There's one boy in yeshiva who speaks to me in the third person, and I often, when he says Rebbe, I ask him which Rebbe he's referring to. So not me, but the Rosh Hashiva. So I say, Rosh Hashiva, why would they serve pizza at a wedding? So his answer was, us, they're cheap. Okay? So you go to a wedding, and they're just, and they say, you say to the guy afterwards, you go up to the chassan, and you say, but to make your wedding in Jerusalem through pizza on 34th Street in Manhattan, you know what I mean? Isn't that a little bit, what's the word in English they call it? Chintzy? There's a word for it. Chintzy is a word? What on earth is cheesy? Cheesy, I like that. Well, you're going to make a wedding in Jerusalem, two pizza on 34th Street, and they're not even going to have a singer, they just put a little bit of Israeli, you know, Shlomo Artsy, like one of these Israeli rock guys in the background, you know, and a few of his friends. And he said, hey dude, no sweat, I didn't care about the wedding. Do you know what I did? They have 67th Street in Manhattan, in Central Park, they have this really fancy restaurant called Tavern on the Green, I think it's called. I remember because that's where I learned to ride a bicycle. So they have limousines there, yes, the size of those number two buses, you know, the ones with the accordion. Yeah, they have these massive limos. I love that. I love going out there when I go to the city. Mom, I'm going on a tour. It's like, where are you going? I'm going to check out the limos. Yeah. So then when I get there, I'm like, well, what's the big deal? When I'm in Israel, I travel in something even bigger. The two bus. So you go with these massive limousines. Just say, I came to my wedding in a massive, you know, you live on 48th, you went down to 34th, I had a 5-minute ride here, but I was so comfortable for 5 minutes. I was sitting there, and they had a bar, so I had a drink. Yes, at the wedding, there are no drinks at the wedding. No drinks, just one half a slice of pizza for everybody. Yes, and you only invited 10 friends so you can make Shevardnadze. Nothing, the wedding is nothing. But the ride to the wedding, that was something. Now, it was only 5 minutes. Yeah, and until by the time I got comfortable, I was already out of there. And I say, tell me something. Even the ride itself, was it a perfect ride? He said, well, I'll tell you the truth. It was like a little bit annoying. Got a little bit nauseous in the car. And, you know, we got stuck in traffic. And we almost got hit one time. You know, and then the driver, you know, questioned the lineage of the person who almost ran into him. And I called him a mamzer. Yeah. So it wasn't so pleasant. And he was in a bad mood. You know, I was a little nervous on the way. Am I going to be late? You know what I mean? Maybe the pizza's going to get a little bit cold. You know, guys. At the end of the day, you make all the plans for this world. It comes out so perfectly. It's going to be, you're going to be healthy. I know anyone's healthy his whole life. As a matter of fact, I barely know any 18-year-olds who are completely healthy. Guys, you're always telling me, I have the flu, I have a stomach ache, I'm not feeling well, I have this, I have allergies. You know, this world, man, that's, what I'm basically telling you is what Masil Sisham said. She says, don't invest in this world. You really, really, really want to enjoy this world. You want to get the most out of it, I'll give you a good piece of advice. Forget about it. Don't expect anything from this world. And every time you take a spoonful of food and you put it in your mouth, you say, Rabbana Shalom, I didn't deserve that, thank you. I'm not here for this anyway. This is just the ride to the show. I'm here for the main show. But if the ride to the show is comfortable, then you're thankful. You're not really expecting much. When you're on your way on your airplane for America and Israel, you're not expecting much. You just want to get out of there. Everything should be okay. The goal is the ultimate destination, not the ride. The ride is just, you know, don't think about it. Make the most of it to make there, and that's really the goal. The goal is that when you get there, that it should be pleasant for you for eternity. Eternity is a long time. But nobody, you can't convince anybody to come to yeshiva because of eternity. Nobody's thinking about that, but no, I have to go, I have to make a parnas, I have to go to NYU, I have to go to Brandeis, I have to go here, I have to go there. But what about eternity? You're not worried about eternity, you're worried about, maybe it's a fake, and there's so many doubts. Maybe you'll go into this college. Maybe you'll get through college alive. Maybe you'll be successful in college. Maybe after college you'll get a job. Maybe you won't get a good job. Maybe how many hotshot investment bankers do I know who spend their days now playing video games? Maybe after everything they did, they invested everything in this world. Everything. And they're left with nothing. And how many people, they had millions of dollars and billions of dollars. And now they're left with nothing. So they don't have anything for there. And they don't have anything for here. And it's filled with this, so many tsaras. But you live for there. You don't expect anything from here. So everything you get, you say thank you. You have air conditioning, thank you. You have comfortable shoes to wear, thank you. But you think about Achrimos, but not just think about it as an abstraction. It's real. It's real. You know, like, somebody said, where are you going to live? We live in society. You're going to make aliyah. So here people having that conversation. No, it's a real, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Shavuot Shechalva. Right? You're going to make aliyah. You know what I say? I'll tell you what I say to myself. I didn't have to make Aliyah with Nefesh B'Nefesh. I went with another program. I went with Erman and Erman. Erman and Erman. That's how I went. And I said to myself, wait a second. I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have two options. I can either get a mitzvah for every second I exist, or I cannot get a mitzvah for every second I exist. If you live in Israel, so almost everybody paskins that it's a mitzvah to live in Israel. It's a machokas, whether it's Daraisa or Darabanan. So you get a mitzvah for every second. If you're in America, you don't get a mitzvah for every second. So if you're here for here, I understand the doubt. You're 18. I'm not talking about when you're older, it's more of a question. But right now, it's easy. You don't have any, you don't have wife, kids, nothing. Just now. So there's no question. I want a mitzvah every second I'm alive. You have a question. What am I going to do next? I don't know what I'm going to do next year, because I never know if I'm here one year or the next, because every year I get more and more radical on Thursday night, and I don't know if they're going to let me in. But so what am I going to do next year? What am I going to do next year? So it's very simple. If I'm here for here, so what is yeshiva going to do for me? Somebody asks you, what is yeshiva going to do for you? You have to get on with your life. What is yeshiva going to do for you in life? You say, well, it's going to purify my soul. Soul? Oh, I can't see a soul. You ever see a soul? You saw Shmaya Alter? Then Svichayim? You can't see a soul. So if you can't see it, so then what can you see? You can see money. You can see a house. You can see a car. So you know what the machlokas is then? Machlokas is, should I go for something that I can't see, or should I go for something that I can see? So everybody's going to go for what they can see, because that's real, and everything else is fake. So what's the answer? The answer is exactly what we're saying. The answer is the Kohen Gadol. The answer is Acharemos. The answer is Roeh Zanoah. To see. See with your eyes. See, no. That's real. You go to a funeral. We all know. There was just a case now that some of the boys here even knew the person personally. A nice yeshiva boy. He went to the shiur on Thursday. And the shiur was on Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And the Rav spoke about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. It's a very good shiur. And then he got sick. And then he was hospitalized. And then 2 or 3 days later, they were at his funeral. A nice, healthy boy, like everybody in this room is healthy. Boy went to yeshiva, like everybody in this room went to yeshiva. Boy went to YU, like most of the boys in the room are going to go to YU. And then from one day to the next, he was a nice, healthy boy, laughing, playing, enjoying, learning. So it can end in it. But you're not supposed to, it's not morbid. Guys, don't get me wrong. It's not that you're supposed to walk around depressed. It's supposed to, you're supposed to walk around with a sense of mission. You have a mission. You're not just, it's not just, okay, what am I going to do today? It's what are my children going to look like? What are my grandchildren going to look like? What is my soul going to look like for the rest of forever? And that has to be something real. And to make it real, think to yourself. People go in and they don't... What do I say about cemeteries? People are dying to get in. People, they go there and you don't get out. And then when you have that sense of mission, like every second of your life, you're like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I got another second of eternity. This is unbelievable. This is so special. And then another thing is me. For most people, life is just so meaningless. It just passed through, and another day, and another. And if you have those eyes, you know you lose. I happen to a lot of people right now. The second you have those eyes, I'm sorry, my mom. The second you have those eyes, you lose all chayshik. You lose chayshik for DVDs, because DVDs they're not going to help you. You lose all desire to surf the internet. You're just not interested in that. You even lose desire to a certain extent, even to hang out with girls. They're not going to help me. They're stopping me from getting there. I'm trying to get to the party, and they're standing in my way in the meantime. Until the day comes, a year or 2, 3 years down the line, when they're going to help me get there. And you're just like, not interested. And all you're interested in is the Rabbanu Shalom. And you're interested in learning, and you're interested in davening, and you're interested in growing. And then it's a completely different life. And then you realize, and with this LN, this is a story about Rav Aaron Kotler. There are a few versions, but the basic idea of the story is that one time one of his Talmidim said, Rebbe, Rebbe, I'm going to work. I'm going to work. I said, oi! He said, Rebbe, don't worry! I'm going to support Torah. I'm going to support Torah, good! I'll get all the mahava. You know, if you give money to Torah, I hear that from guys all the time. I'll go to work, I'll get rich, and I'll support Torah. Rav Aaron said to him, my sweet friend, said, I'm not worried about your olam haba. I'm worried about your olam hazeh. How are you going to enjoy your olam hazeh? You walk around, and you can ask guys. Ask Rav Meir Ben Atar in the back. Ask Rav Bader. Ask people learning. And ask them, do you enjoy Olam Hazeh? Every day, it's just, every day gets sweeter than the next. Right? There's a t-shirt to say, I can't wait till tomorrow because I get better looking every day. Every day gets better. Oh, today you had a pshat and tosis. Tomorrow you get another pshat. And it gets deeper. And that's the way you live your life. It's just such an unbelievable life. Like somebody told me, like, you know, next year the yeshiva is learning Baba Kama. That's what my Chavrusa Daniel told me. So I said, what a life. What a life. This year I went to work, and what did I do when I went to work? Most of my friends, they go to work, they're running after money if they have a job. They're running after money, they're running after clients, they have headaches, they have heartache. I go to work every day, and I open up a Masechet Sanhedrin with my Chavrusa. And we just read and we try to understand what is Hashem thinking today. And then next year you open up a Baba Kama, it's main Olam Haba. And that's why Hashem gave us the Torah. It says, Ava Rabba Avtanu, and you know what the proof is that I love you? That I gave you the Torah. So this is not Chas V'Shalom, a speech that you shouldn't go to work. But it is a speech to try to make the most of this world and everything you're doing to see the goal. Not to see the here and now. I'm working now so I can have bread for breakfast. I'm working now because I have an ultimate goal. I want to raise a family. I want to serve Hashem. I want to be honest. I want to make a Kiddush Hashem. And if you have those eyes, and if you have that perspective, if you have that attitude, there's no question that you will always serve Hashem the same way.
2, 3, 4.